is the date today?
22nd of May.
I'm going to call the House Committee on Healthcare to order for this lovely 22nd of May. Is that right?
Yeah. That is right.
90 degree temperatures, kind of hard to believe, huh? We are going to carry over two different bills that are on the agenda today, so I'll tell you right now, we're going to carry over to Wednesday Senate Bill 275A and Senate Bill 934A. We have amendments coming on both of them. We're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 367A. And Ms. Chair, what do we have?
Senate Bill 235A, Mr. Chair.
367A.
367. Oh,
we're out of order.
I'm sorry. 367.
I'm going to take advantage of committee members while they're here.
Mr. Chair, members of the committees, Senate Bill 367A allows a healthcare provider to disclose an inmate's health information to a physician of an employee of the Department of Corrections facility who is exposed to an inmate's bodily fluid if the exposure is substantial and the inmate has tested positive for HIV, hepatitis B or C, or any other communicable disease. Limits the disclosure of the protected health information to the communicable diseases only. Mr. Chair, there's no revenue, no fiscal impact. What you have before you is an A5 amendment, which defines body fluid to include blood or human body fluid containing blood, specifies that the inmate's personal health information can be disclosed to the employee's physician if the inmate has tested positive for HIV, hepatitis B or C, or another communicable disease that can be transmitted through human body fluids, and the employee knows or suspects that they were exposed to that inmate's body fluids. You also have an A6 amendment at the request of the Department of Corrections that also adds another class of employees of the department, and that is the Oregon Correction Enterprises employees. Mr. Chair, we have a fiscal and revenue on both amendments. There is no fiscal impact on the A5s or the A6, and there's no revenue impact on the A5s or the A6.
Representative Nose, the A5s are yours. You want to talk about them
a bit? Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to, Mr. Chair. So what I attempted to do with the A5s and is try to define body fluid a little bit more narrowly. And the testimony that we heard from the corrections folks was that they were very concerned about a very difficult course of treatment that a corrections officer has to endure if they're exposed to hepatitis C or to the HIV virus. And so that the treatment was almost as bad as the actual disease in some instances. And so they were trying to figure out a way that they would find out if they were exposed or not, and then whether or not they needed to subject themselves to that course of treatment, since it's a pretty difficult course of treatment to endure. You have to be off work, it makes you pretty sick, or if there was no exposure to either of those two things, and therefore the treatment was not needed. The amendment defines body fluid as blood, because blood is the way that HIV and hepatitis C is transmitted. We changed a may to a shall in line 8 so that the disclosure would occur, so that there'd be peace of mind. And I worked that out with the corrections officers in my attempt to try to thread the needle on this a little bit, Mr. Chair. And I also added the employee knows or suspects. And that way it's a little bit on the onus of the officer. One of the things that they were concerned about is that, and I want to be clear that these professionals said most of the time inmates go out of their way to reveal to them what's needed. It's a rare group of folks that even in prison don't figure out how to comply with the rules. But they said there are times when inmates have done things like bite their lip and spit. And so I thought the employee knows or suspects gave a modicum of protection in that instance should that occur. So this is a compromise that I attempted to work out with those corrections officers who do a very difficult job and are sometimes exposed to things, and at the same time, folks at Cascade AIDS Project, I think were concerned that we were not focusing on accuracy about how those two particular diseases were spread. So that was my attempt, Mr. Chair.
Is there any discussion about, we'll have a motion on that amendment, but would anybody like to talk about it? Representative Kenemer?
Yes.
And then Representative Hayden.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rob, wanted to follow up on that. We had some testimony about body fluids, maybe sometimes been transmitters other than blood. And so I wanted to hear more about that. And then does this deal effectively with the example you gave of where an inmate might bite his lip and spit on a person? And I'm not sure how obvious that would be and how likely that would be to be
So
caught.
let me answer your first question, yeah. Your second question, because I believe it's the easier of the two to answer.
Thank you.
So by putting in line 15, the employee knows or suspects that blood was involved.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that that was a way to give the corrections officer a little more latitude in that situation. Okay. You know, they don't know for certain, but they suspect that blood was involved in some capacity, then they have the ability to acquire that test. Okay. With regard to your first question, you know, other diseases are spread,
yes,
by saliva.
Yep.
And this is attempting to focus on narrowing it down to HIV and hepatitis B and C. It does not focus on other things that a person might be able to contract from saliva. So yes, my amendment narrows it a little bit. Yep.
Are there other comments? Oh, Representative Hayden.
Thank you. Question to the amendment carrier. Just, I think you already answered it, but to be clear, so it would limit the scope to HIV and hepatitis B and C and take out the words other communicable diseases, which, you know, saliva is certainly a potential carrier for those. So I would have some concern with that, but it's really kind of taking saliva out of the equation, right?
Yes, saliva is not defined as the bodily fluid. Blood is defined as the bodily fluid.
Unless there was a sense that there was blood in the saliva.
Right. But you'd have the ability, if you thought blood was in the saliva and you suspect, then you'd have that ability as an officer to request that test.
Okay.
President Kenemer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, if I could, a question to Rob. The law enforcement folks, are they feeling this is adequate, or
it's a compromise, Mr.
That's what I'm trying to
represent, Kenemer. It's a compromise.
Can you be a little bit? I'm sorry to keep pushing, but I think it's an important issue.
Well, I think they prefer the intent of the original bill, but if it's this compromise or nothing, they'd probably rather have this compromise. Again, the point is, the main thing that they were concerned with was the treatment that an inmate has to go to prevent the possible contraction of HIV or hepatitis B or C. They're pretty difficult courses of treatment,
yep,
that take a person off work. And so if that was the main source of the consternation, I'm trying to have the amendment focus on that space.
Excuse me, and if I can just comment, I think part of it, too, is it's really beyond work. It's really also their family is potentially in jeopardy. So it's a pretty serious matter. I can see some foundation for a compromise. On the other hand, it seems to me maybe the tougher bill, if it's possible to get that through, makes more sense, at least in my thinking.
Your sense is that
the only
way to spread hepatitis B or C or HIV is through bloodborne exposure. Yeah,
that's true.
And that bloodborne exposure has to be exposure. You have to have exposure to membranes, you know, and other, you know, it's you have to have open wounds, or it has to get in your nose or even your mouth. I mean, like you have.
But those aren't the only serious diseases, too.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
Comment. So, as a practicing dentist, and not much before I became a practicing dentist 23 years ago, wet finger dentistry, meaning dentistry without gloves, was very, very common. I mean, it was the practice standard, and through HIV awareness and changes in our personal protective gear, because of other diseases and concerns with periodontal disease, and about 70% of the general population has either gingivitis or periodontal disease, which introduces tainted saliva with a blood product. And just looking at the personal protections requirements, changes in the practice of oral health care and dentistry, all of those gloves and shields and masks and eye protection have been appropriately adopted. So I think it would, I tend to have some concerns with the A5. I think it might be a little bit too limiting.
Too
limiting in scope.
Well, we can take a vote and we'll find out.
Well, you can take a vote by asking. I suppose you're right. Huh. I suppose you take a vote on A5 and it's a no, we'll go without A5.
Yep.
Let's have the motion.
Mr. Chair, I would like to move that the committee adopt the A5 amendments to Senate Bill 367.
Representative Noss moves. We add the A5 amendment dated 5/15/17 to Senate Bill 367A. Should we just call the roll?
Could we have a moment to have a little huddle?
Sure.
Thank you. Sorry.
The basis is if the motion goes down, then we'll adopt the -60, which is not controversial, and pass the bill. If it goes down,
we'll adopt the which?
The -6. The other.
Okay.
That's a non-controversial. Stand at ease, please.
Thank you.
Please, let's reconvene.
I think what would make most sense is if I would...
It's a gavel end.
Oh, he does.
Excuse me.
Thank you, colleagues. Mr. Chair, I think what would make the most sense at this time is that I withdraw my motion and we carry the bill over to Wednesday.
Right, and there's -3 amendments to be considered as well. So we need to get the fiscal in place for the -3.
Yep. Will do, sir.
So we didn't vote on my motion to adopt the -5.
There's no motion on the
floor. We can just... I can just withdraw it?
Correct.
Okay. I'd like to withdraw my motion to adopt the -A5 amendments to Senate Bill 367.
The Noss has withdrawn the -A5 amendments. We're going to close the work session on Senate Bill 367A and carry it over to Wednesday.
Okay.
Open a work session on Senate Bill 235A.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 235 amends the Oregon Indoor Clean Air Act by allowing the use of tobacco products in an enclosed area that is outdoors, defines the enclosed area. Mr. Chair, what you have before you is an A7 amendment, which specifies that a person selling tobacco products or inhalant delivery system at or from a premises has to have a license. It establishes a licensing program within the Department of Revenue, directs the department to enter into agreements with the Oregon Health Authority, local health public authorities for the purpose of disciplining licensees or applicants for license violations, ordinance or rules governing the retail sale of tobacco products and inhalant delivery systems. It also preempts local counties and cities from requiring a retailer have a local license, but retains the local authority to revoke the state license if noncompliance occurs. Mr. Chair, we have a fiscal impact on the A7, and it is rather lengthy, and the last sentence is this bill requires budgetary action for the establishment of the other fund limitation and position authority. So it does have to go to Ways and Means, Mr. Chair, and there's a minimal revenue impact.
I'm going to have some invited testimony. I'm going to invite proponents of the -7, one proponent of the -7, to talk, and I'm going to also invite one proponent of the -8 to put their record on their objections on the record. My hope is to adopt the -7 and send the bill to the Ways and Means Committee for further work, including discussions of the Dash 8 and other things. So we have somebody here for the Dash 7s?
And do you want Scott Winkles?
Yes. Thank you. And Scott will do the Dash 8s.
Chair Greenlick, members of the committee, the Dash 7s. Oh, Jen Baker for on behalf of the Oregon Nurses Association.
I know you're new at this thing.
The Dash 7s essentially streamline the coordination that it is required to enforce local ordinances around tobacco control policies. It ensures that only one license can be required, so any retailer anywhere in the state will have to license with the Department of Revenue. Cities and counties will not be able to be to require them to hold a second license specific to their jurisdiction. What this amendment does allow is for local public health authorities to continue to enact proactive public health policy that restricts additional time, place, and manner ordinances for the sale of tobacco.
Thank you. Mr. Winkle?
Chair Greenlick, member of the committee, for the record, Scott Winkles representing the League of Oregon Cities. I'm appearing in opposition to the Dash 7A amendment, and our opposition is narrowed. This is a, is, it's a narrow opposition. It's focused specifically in Section 17A, where it prevents the city or county from essentially enforcing an existing license. We do have some cities in Oregon who have, at the urging of public health advocates.
Yeah.
Pardon?
The same proponents.
Correct. And to who have enacted a tobacco licensure program, Cottage Grove, Eugene, Corvallis, among others, have done so to benefit public health, and we would have a concern with having those local licenses preempted. We have forwarded some language to the committee staff and to the Oregon Nurses Association that would allow a preemption moving forward, which I'm not entirely, we're not typically comfortable doing, but in the spirit of compromise, we can do that, but would protect existing ordinances. And what we'd simply suggest is that after the effective date of the act, no local licenses could be enforced, and believe that is a reasonable compromise.
Do you want to comment on that?
Chair Greenlick, members of the committee, we are happy to continue discussion around that. I will say the one thing, when we look at this, we really do think it is a reasonable compromise to require retailers to have a stream or to have a streamlined process for retailers. So if we grandfather in Corvallis, Philomath, Eugene, Cottage Grove, and others in those areas, their counties and those cities have passed retail licensure programs. So a retailer could be required to have the state license and their local ordinance. ONA is fine with that, but do think that the Dash 7s are more of a compromise to make it easier for retail establishments to abide by the retail licensure program.
Good. Well, thank you very much. I will forward this to Ways and Means for further discussion, and I hope, let's put, my intention would be to take a motion on the Dash 7s and then move the bill.
Question.
Yes, sir.
Would it make a difference to you whether we just moved it without moving the Dash 7 motion now and let Ways and Means have that discussion?
Would my preference would be to have the Dash 7. Which sets, I mean, it's a broader policy issue, and we think we ought to foreshadow it. You can take it off.
Comment then?
Yeah.
So, beings, we're going to, may surprise you, I'm actually in support of a consensus tobacco licensure program for Oregon. I think Oregon lacks in tobacco licensure and enforcement of tobacco products. I think it is difficult to put it within this bill when we have some of my local jurisdictions that have been the front on the front of putting parameters around tobacco use and licensure, and so my preference would be is to have these as two separate discussions, but I am supportive of tobacco licensure or retail licensure. I just think it should be a consensus, and this bill is probably not the right place to put it, in my opinion.
I think we're close to consensus, so the hope is we can work it out in ways and means.
I got it.
Thank you, Chair. I, too, have some concerns about this language landing in a bill that I think originally started out with just putting back in enclosed area. I'm not opposed to the licensure piece, but I'm not sure that this is the proper way to do that, and I've got some concerns about how that was done. And it's unfortunate that the enclosed area piece ends up kind of getting lost in the mix of everything else. So I'm kind of perplexed at how we arrived at this, and I know that there are other folks who believe that this work started about 3 years ago, and I'm not sure that the Dash 7s include all of the work that had been done up to that point. So my concern would be that not all the stakeholders have had enough time to come to the table and work together to come up with a viable solution.
I think we're looking at the beginning of the end of session magic that causes weird stuff to happen.
Yeah,
this isn't the first weird
it's too bad you couldn't
today.
Have started with where you left off 3 years ago versus starting back at the beginning again. But
thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know if this helps, but I think the bill actually started as a tobacco licensing bill.
Did it?
It wasn't that it got. It, that's how it started over there, and then the open closed spaces got put on this. The other piece got taken out. So it's been,
my
I see
apologies.
It as kind of full circle. You know, I'm somewhat torn between the 7 and 8. I just want this thing to pass, basically. You know, we're looking at more, well, they won't be considered minor to cities, but it does seem to me that the Dash 7 tries hard to more streamline and align it. So I think I find it a little ironic that you both are advocating the positions that you are, frankly. But I am hoping it will pass in either form.
The restaurants.
I agree with Representative Hayden. It's very important that we do it. And I think we're one of only a handful of states, 8 to 10 states, that don't have it. So.
Representative Nose, you have a motion.
Chair Greenland, I would like to move that the committee adopt the Dash A7 amendments to Senate Bill 235.
Representative Nose moves we adopt the Dash A7 to Senate Bill 235A. Do you have a date on that?
The date of the amendment was 5/16/2017.
Representative Kenemer?
Yes, Mr. Chair, sorry, I have a question on. Does this Dash 7 then have the restrictions on the outdoor facilities that the Restaurant Association
yeah.
was opposed to?
It's an addition. It's not
but
a gotten
opposition
stuff. It's not
position.
A gotten stuff. It's an addition
it's
to.
It's an addition, but it.
Okay. Is there any objection to the Dash 7?
Yes.
Will you call the roll, please?
Aye.
Representative Buehler.
No.
Representative Alonzo Leon.
Aye.
Representative Kenemer.
No.
Representative Nostrom.
Aye.
Representative Hack.
No.
Vice Chair Nose.
Yes.
Vice Chair Hayden.
No.
Chair Greenman.
Yes, motion carries. A7 is a part of Senate Bill 235. How about another motion?
Chair Greenlink, I would like to move Senate Bill 235A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that a reference to the Committee on Ways and Means be added.
Representative Nose moves. We pass Senate Bill 235A to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be added. Is there any discussion on the motion? Would you call the roll, please?
Representative Kimmy Dyer.
Aye.
Representative Buehler.
Yes.
Representative Alonzo Leon.
Aye.
Representative Kenner.
No.
Representative Nostrom.
Aye.
Representative Hack.
No.
Vice Chair Nose.
Yes.
Vice Chair Hayden.
Yes.
Chair Greenland.
All right. Motion carries. Senate Bill 235A is on its way to the Committee on Ways and Means. And have a good journey. Close the work session on Senate Bill 235A, and we are adjourned.
June's along.
Yeah, right, sure.
June's along.